Welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we're joined by Marco Tamman of NiceHash. We discuss how it operates, solo miners finding blocks on NiceHash, and why operators might want to sell hash rate into a marketplace.
Introducing the newest and most requested course from Foundry Academy, Intro to Hashboard Diagnosis and Repair, offered by the same experts who provided top technical training for mining technicians in the U.S. This Essential Academy course will take place in Rochester, New York from May 1st to the 5th, 2023. With a strong focus on mastering microsoldering basics, Foundry's dedicated instructors possess years of ASIC hardware experience and will guide you through each step of the process. They'll ensure that you gain the confidence and skills required to undertake basic repair jobs and keep your operation healthy and hashing. Register today at foundryacademy.com.
Welcome back to the Mining Pod. Today we're joined by Marco Tamman. He is the lead mining operations manager at NiceHash. NiceHash, of course, has a special place within the mining community. It's one of the long-standing places you can go rent, buy, or sell hash rate to open marketplace on the internet and maybe earn some Bitcoin. Marco, thank you so much again for joining today.
Thanks for having me.
So we have a great place to begin the conversation, and that is this week a solo miner who is renting hash rate from NiceHash actually scored a singular block, earned about $148,000 in rewards for, you know, just renting a few hours or a few days worth of work from the net from you guys. Explain that to me. This is a pretty cool story because we always love to celebrate these single block winners because they have really big odds against themselves. They're essentially winning a huge lottery.
Yeah, I would say that hasn't happened the first time, but it was probably one of the first time that the buyer actually came out and explained how he did it. I think he rented like 6.7 pentahash, which is what he said. And there were buyers doing that before, but they were using, let's say, solo mining pools or their private pools, actually. A buyer can set up their own pool, buy hash rate through NiceHash. It's on demand. They can get it in a couple of seconds. And they start mining with it. That's actually something similar the buyers did back with Ethereum because they could see the big block of transactions coming up. There was a lot of transaction fees in that block, so they would use NiceHash to get that on-demand hash rate in that moment and try to hit a block. And that's what they, because of that, they were willing to pay premium price on that hash rate because they knew that the block had, let's say, 30% more block reward because of the transaction fees. And they were willing to pay approximately, let's say, 30 or 25% more than that average price. And because that was happening on a, let's say, regular basis, the miners at the end of the day were paid more. And similar is happening right now on SHA-256, where buyers are trying to mine that solo block and they're willing to pay premium price for that probability of getting the hash rate and hitting a block.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is the story that we're linking to from Decrypt. It says that this miner was based in Russia, and I think they only had, 270 terahash before they rented 5 petahash for this.
Yeah.
So they had essentially like 2 or 3 S19s or enough to get up to that, and they rented from you guys. Tell me about the renting side of that. So I'm assuming just from like a marketplace standpoint, you purchase the amount of hash rate you want and then the cost is based over time. So how much would it cost generally for this person to, you know, rent 6.7 petahash?
Price is set by the buyers. So the buyers are competing against each other, outbidding each other for that hash rate. So let's say there is approximately 2 exahash available right now on NiceHash. And if there comes a buyer who says, I want to buy it all, he has to outbid every other buyer. So a good example would be, let's say, I'm willing to pay 3 bitcoins per exahash per day. That's just the hash price index you're probably familiar with, just a unit of price. I get all that hash rate. Then you come and you say, I'm willing to pay 3.1 bitcoins per exahash, and you outbid me in real time. And in that real time, NiceHash moves all the miners that were mining for me to you. And you say, where do you want that hash rate to go? So let's say you're using like a pool or your private pool, whatever, that hash rate goes to that pool. Then I say, I want to outbid you again. I set a price for, let's say, 3.2 Bitcoins per exahash per day, and then I get the Bitcoin, the hash rate again. And we can just like compete against each other until we get to that break even or like the breaking point.
That's awesome. I love that marketplace. Let's go into it itself. We'll leave that story in the background. Of course, a great way to like intro just the whole conversation, as we love it when someone wins a mining reward or a mining block like that. Let's just begin talking about NiceHash. If you could walk me through the history of that NiceHash itself, and then we'll dig into the conversation about like how NiceHash works and profit switching algorithms and maximizing payouts and stuff like that. But a little background on NiceHash for those who are not familiar would be awesome.
Yeah, we were around since 2014, actually. So that's almost what it will be 10 years next year. So you can list me companies that are along here for that many, for that much time. I think there's not many of them. We are like the old guys already. And basically, the core product has always been the hash power marketplace. So we started, I think, with script algorithm, and the second one was SHA-256. And since then, we've allowed buyers to buy that hash rate. NiceHash is also a vertically integrated company, so working on other products. Also, we support ASIC mining, GPU mining. There's more than 30 different algorithms to sell hash rate.
Just going through the history books for a second here, I'm curious about the Ethereum merge and how that sort of changed your guys' marketplace for hash rate. Obviously, there's lots of altcoin mining still out there, and we talk about it every once in a while on the show, and ETH is still around, Ravencoin, those coins are around. But how did your guys' marketplace change when Ethereum merged?
Before Ethereum merged, we had, I think, the 70% of all the market on NiceHash was on Ethereum. So that was a big chunk of our revenue. We were expecting the decrease, but let's say we weren't focusing on ASICs back in the day because our main source of income were obviously like small-time miners, GPU miners, content creators with just one or maybe two GPUs. And I think there was approximately 20 or 30% of Ethereum hash rate on NiceHash. And that's what allowed the buyers do what they did before. As I explained before, like buy the hash rate, get a chance to hit that block. So yeah, after Ethereum merge, obviously we were hit a little bit, but not that much because we still have Bitcoin mining, Litecoin, Dogecoin, and all the rest. There's still like 30 algorithms available.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for that information there. Let's go into the product itself. Tell me about how NiceHash operates. Then later down the conversation, I want to talk about liquidity with how your marketplace works. I think that'd be interesting to kind of go back and talk about the Ethereum side of things, as you guys did see a drop off in hash rate from Ethereum miners. But let's start with that part of the conversation first. Tell me a little bit about how NiceHash operates. And
Basically, what we do is that we connect, let's say, millions of miners with couple thousands of buyers. And these buyers start off by depositing Bitcoins to NiceHash. And they decide to what algorithm they will buy, what hash power for what algorithm. And then they set a price. They log the Bitcoins for that order. Let's say, hypothetically, I want to spend one Bitcoin for one exahash. That means that I'm gonna get a hash rate for about 8 hours, and in 8 hours, if I outbid all the rest buyers, I will get that hash rate. And in these 8 hours, the balance, the one Bitcoin I locked in that order, will slowly get deducted. So if I decide to cancel the order in the middle of time, so in 4 hours, I will get that half Bitcoin back. There's no fixed pay rate. You can change the price of that order. So essentially what NiceHash allows you to do compared to cloud mining is to manipulate the order. With cloud mining, you buy a contract for, let's say, 1 month for 100 pentahash, and you cannot change the price, neither the hash rate you're getting. And that means that if Bitcoin price drops, or the difficulty increases, you're losing money. On the other hand, the seller might be losing money, the mining farm, because someone is always losing money with cloud mining. But NiceCash, on the other hand, allows you to manipulate these orders. And as I said before, the buyers are really smart people. They're doing like wild stuff with that hash rate. They have that option to manipulate the order. That's the main benefit of NiceCash over everyone else. And as the order progresses, the buyer is getting shares from the seller. He doesn't know who the seller is, and the seller doesn't know who the buyer is. So they don't know each other. Everything is done automatically by NiceCash, by our service. And as the miner is sending a share towards NiceCash to the buyer and to the pool that the buyer used, each share he's getting paid for. So it's like true PPS, where miner is getting paid for each and every share. And as he gets paid, the money from the buyer, is being deducted. So as I mentioned before, that one Bitcoin, as I get a share, the money is deducted from my, let's say, locked order. Or so this is like true benefit also for a miner, because just not long ago I heard about a pool that had really bad luck, and there was a farm that lost like 20% of what they're supposed to get, something like that. I'm not sure, because of luck, you know. If a pool has 10 exahash, that means they're going to get every 30 block on statistically. But it can happen that they're going to get like every 50 block. The miner has that risk of not getting the reward. But on NiceHash, the buyer is taking over that risk, because the buyer will either get the block reward or not. But he will have to pay for that hash rate. And the miner will always get paid by the price set by all the orders on the hash rate marketplace. Let's say hypothetically there's 100 orders on the NiceHash. There's like a order book of all the orders, and only the top 10 will get fulfilled. Because the top 10 hash rate that they want to get is 2 exahash. And the 11th will be waiting for that hash rate. As soon as there's enough hash rate that either a new mining farm connects, a new miner connects on NiceHash, the orders that are waiting will get fulfilled. Or if this, let's say the first order is completed or canceled, or the buyer decreases the amount of hash rate they want, the next order in line will get fulfilled. Does that make sense?
No, that's great. Tell me a little bit about the buyer side and the sell side. Let's kind of break up these two groups. You said the buying side, often you're seeing wild things with what people are doing with this hash rate. Tell me a little bit about the profit switching and the buy side of things. You're mentioning how the buyers are really the ones informing the sell side of things and do a lot of the work for the buyers. How is that?
Yeah, the buyers are the brains behind NiceHash. There's multiple coins on, let's say, SHA-256 algorithm, multiple coins that use the same algorithm. So there's Bitcoin, there's the space coin I've been talking about, there's Bitcoin SV, Bitcoin, not cash, but like other coins using that algorithm. And the buyers, they will notice if it's more profitable to mine another coin, another project. And they will direct that hash rate to that project. Let's say the Bitcoin SV. Ethically, mining Bitcoin SV pays out more for the buyer. And they will do that thinking for the miners. But the buyers will always have to deposit Bitcoins to NiceHash too. And the Bitcoins are means of transfer. That could be dollars, potatoes, for like, but it's not practical. Bitcoins are. So the buyers will pay the seller in Bitcoin always. That's the first layer of switching. And with GPU mining, there was a second layer of switching where the GPUs were switching between different algorithms. So you would have ETH hash algorithm, you would have, let's say, key heavy hash algorithm and another algorithms. So that would be the first layer of switching. Then on each of these algorithms, there are multiple projects using that algorithm. So let's say you're mining ETH hash, The miner on KeyHeavy hash will set up hyping order, and miners from ETH hash will switch to KeyHeavy hash. So there's like double layered profit switching.
Gotcha. So just to sort of summarize and clarify here, the buyers have the ability to look at hash price and weigh it against a different coin's current hash price. And if the hash price of a different coin than Bitcoin is higher, they'll swap over to that that hash instead. And then the sell side gets a little bit more income because of it as well, while the buyer also profits.
Exactly.
Gotcha. The one thing I'm curious about there is the Ethereum stuff, which obviously it doesn't really matter anymore because they transitioned. But the point that you made that certain Ethereum miners or people wanting to buy Ethereum hash rate rather, would go and try to snag a singular block. And I'm assuming you're referring to miner extractable value, where you're trying to see the transactions on a certain block, get that hash rate, control that block, and extract that value. Was that a service you guys saw quite often on NiceHash?
I'm not exactly sure how often this happened, because we don't really track details about it. But we just knew that this is something that the buyers did.
Gotcha.
NiceHash doesn't interfere in the marketplace, so we leave it like, let's say, decentralized. We leave it for the market to do whatever the market does. So like the invisible hand, it does everything.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if that develops more with the possible changes of MEV on Bitcoin, with the debut of inscriptions and ordinals, and possibly rollups at some certain point, and maybe Lightning as well. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Let's move over to the sell side of things and talk about who are the sellers. You mentioned that there could be just like individual farms. Maybe in some cases, there's just a few people who just want to, you know, sell off their hash rate. Curious who those seller groups are.
There's, again, multiple types of sellers. We probably have every type of miner on NiceHash. You can start with CPU miners. They're selling hash rate for RandomX, for Monero. Then you have GPU miners. They're selling currently probably with KeyHeavy hash, Caspa coin. There's small miners with one GPU, just heating up their household. There's professional GPU miners, but as you're aware, the GPU mining site hasn't been really profitable right now, so there's less of them. And we also have ASIC miners. There's big mining farms. There's individual miners with ASICs. We don't really care. As long as you connect hash rate, you can do it freely without any user accounts, KYC, or whatever. For the miner itself, the user experience is identical to mining to a pool. So you use like a NiceHash stratum address, Bitcoin wallet address dot worker name, and password is X, and that's all you need to start mining. It's like a couple of seconds.
Gotcha. So let's go back to the liquidity topic from earlier in the conversation. I'm curious to know how the marketplace liquidity changed for SHA-256 specifically after the Ethereum merge, because you said that Ethereum was about 70% of your marketplace, and then the merge occurred, and you guys lost all that. Did you see like an influx of SHA-256 miners coming to NiceHash, or has like the relative amount of hash rate available on NiceHash remained pretty steady since then?
Yeah, the hash rate is growing. In January, we had 1 exahash. We're approaching 2 exahash right now. We're trying to onboard bigger farms. And for now, it might have grown like naturally, because if you check what to mine, NiceHash is always the most paying service, not a pool, over mining Bitcoin directly through a pool. And that's just because I explained before, the buyers are willing to pay more, and we're seeing more miners wanting to sell hash rate through NiceHash, because they're getting like 5 to 10% more than any other pool.
Yeah, I'm curious, follow-up question here on like the, I guess I don't know the correct phrasing for it, but maybe you'll understand anyways, like the margins here for a buyer or a seller, like how close to the market equivalent for a set of terahash are we getting? Are things fairly competitive? So for example, if I went to go buy a hash rate derivative that gives me a set of hash rate over time. How similar in pricing are we talking between NiceHash and a hash rate derivative, or if I just have my own hash rate itself?
You can earn more with NiceHash by approximately 5 to 10%. It's important to stress out that NiceHash doesn't pay, because the buyers are paying the sellers. We're just a broker, the guy in between. So yeah, the difference jumps obviously up and down all the time because the buyers are bidding. So let's say that highest paying order is filled out. And then for a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes, that order is not paying above that break-even price. But just sooner or later, a new buyer comes and sets up a premium price for that order. And for like half a year, been paying, again, sorry, we haven't been paying, the buyers have been paying approximately 5 to 10% more, whatever the hash price index is. So as you know, the hash price index like fluctuates all the time. So does the pay rate on NiceHash.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I'm just curious about like how tight the market is, which should be like a derivative of the liquidity of the marketplace.
Yeah, it happens that the pay rate on NiceHash was 40% higher. 40, that's 40, not 14, but 40%. Wow. Yeah, 40% higher than mining Bitcoin directly. That was the first time it happened was in November. There was a buyer that was solo mining, and you know, he caught a couple of blocks. We think so.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and then he did. He bought a lot of hash rate, you know, and with that hash rate, with that premium price, he went about like 40% above that break-even price. And lastly, it was, I think, about a month ago that the pay rate was 36% higher for a couple of hours. And as far as I know, there was a new coin on SHA-256. It's called Space Something. And there was another buyer who was paying, the pay rate went up to 10 Bitcoins per exahash. The current hash price index is about 3 Bitcoins per exahash.
Yeah. Wow. Tell me a little bit about on the business development side, when you guys are going out to mining farms, I mean, like, hey, you should work with NiceHash. We want you to provide the supply side for our marketplace. What's the pitch to these guys? Because ostensibly, if you're paying out 5 to 10% higher on the buy side, then the sell side might be losing out here. So what's the pitch to them? And am I incorrect in that understanding?
The sell, the supply, the miners, they're getting paid more.
So okay.
5 to 10% more. Yeah.
Okay.
They are the ones that get paid more, not the buyer. The buyer has to do all the hard thinking. They are the brains behind everything, and they make decisions to what pool they're gonna mine, when will they buy more hash rate, because they're smart. They do the hard thinking for the seller, for the miner. And the miner is just getting paid more. And our like biggest sell point is that miners on NiceHash are getting paid about 5 to 10% more.
So why don't we see thanks for clarifying that. I misunderstood you from earlier. Why don't we see like a larger influx of miners to NiceHash necessarily, or is that sort of the spurring on? You said you're increasing from 1xHash to 2xHash pretty soon here, but I would think that like a lot of miners would want to jump into NiceHash in that sense.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, in the past we'll be only focusing on retail users, so small time miners with one GPU, two GPUs, and we really didn't have to focus on, you know, ASIC side of thing. If anyone wanted to connect, they did. That was the first thing. So not many miners are aware that they can sell SHA-256 hash rate through NiceHash. I've been going around at conferences and I've been talking to miners and, hey guys, I've been using you in 2017-16 with my GPU. I started mining back then with you. And right now they're like big mining farm operators, and they don't know that they can use NiceHash for selling hash rate.
Yeah.
So we're actively working on this, trying to spread the awareness about NiceHash. It's also ASIC mineable. And the other thing is that the majority of buyers were conventional buyers. So these buyers tried to do arbitrage trading with the hash rate. But in September, we launched a new product which helps Solo miners to Solo mine, basically. And we've been doing like these packages of hash rate that they can use for Solo mining. And these packages are premium priced because they have to outbid conventional buyers. Otherwise, they won't get the hash rate. And since September, the average theoretical pay rate was about 5.5% higher than anyone else. But again, this is theoretical data. We're running tests of two ASICs head to head, one on IceHash, one on Bitcoin Pool. And the actual difference is, I think, around 9% right now in the past 4 weeks.
Okay, so last question for you as we look to close out the show. I'm curious what you think about competition within this landscape. So I did mention hash rate derivatives earlier. We've had the Luxor team on here, which launched a hash rate derivative, I believe, in the fall. Enables you to go and purchase a set amount of hash rate into a future order date, and they do a back-end swap and OTC deal. There's things like DeFi with hash rate, where you're able to go use a smart contract and purchase hash rate from a smart contract. It's an interesting and evolving landscape where I think we're going to see a lot of different marketplaces for hash rate. How does NiceHash compete in a world where we see more of these competitors pop up?
NiceHash offers on-demand hash rate. NiceHash doesn't offer like futures for hash rate futures or like contracts for, let's say, 1 year of hash rate. And as I said before, someone with cloud mining is always losing money. So if it's either the seller, the mining farm, who sets a price for exahash, let's say they set a price for 4 bitcoins, right now they might be making money, more money than mining, but let's maybe in 2 weeks or 2 months, the Bitcoin price increases and the actual hash price will be 5 Bitcoin. And because they have a contract with the buyer, they will be losing that difference between 4 and 5 Bitcoins per exahash. Or on the other hand, the buyer of that, or like the buyer of contract, will be losing money because he has a contract for, let's say, 1 year, and he bought it at 4 Bitcoins per exahash for day for all that time. He cannot change the price or the amount of hash rate he's getting. And if the Bitcoin price drops, he's going to be losing money. So with this cloud mining core, like hash rate futures, someone is always losing money. So someone is taking that risk. But with NiceHash, a buyer can manipulate these orders. So if he sees a difficulty increase, he will either lower the price or cancel the order. If he sees a Bitcoin price increase, he can go higher with the price to compete against other buyers. So it's a live marketplace. I hope that makes sense. Yeah,
like no, that didn't make sense.
What's the real difference? NiceHash, hash power marketplace, and hash rate derivatives or futures, or cloud mining. It's quite a similar thing.
Perfect. Well, we'll leave the conversation there. Marco, where can people find you online? Twitter or a blog or somewhere else?
I'm mostly active on LinkedIn. They can find me there. I think that would be the best place to reach out to me. I'm also on Telegram. Everything else than Twitter. I'm not on Twitter.
A rare person not on Twitter in Bitcoin. I love that. Cool. Marco, again, thank you so much for your time today. We look forward to speaking again with you soon. Have a good one.
Thank you for having me.